Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Welcome once again to Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We are excited that you have joined us tonight for fellowship and for the Word of God. While we are preparing, amen, I want you to grab your Bibles and grab your notes, your pens, pads, iPads, whatever it is that you use to keep notes with. Grab it, come to the table, amen, and be prepared to hear what thus saith the Lord being delivered by our apostle, Apostle Christopher Allen McQueen, amen. But before I begin, even with the word of encouragement on this evening, just want to give the announcements really quick. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. with Apostle Christopher McQueen. Every Thursday, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. That's Thursday at 7 p.m. Every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m., join us at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries for our live worship experience. Amen. You don't want to miss it. If you are in the Brevard County area, please join us right here. We personally extend an invitation to you. Join us at 956 North Coke Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. We can't wait to see you. Come expecting God to do something for you. His presence is already resting, ruling, and abiding in this house. Amen. And you will not be disappointed by the glory of God. So just come with your hands uplifted, your hearts prepared to receive, and God will meet you at the point of your need. Amen, and glory to God. Well, also want to let you know, please go to our website, www.ctkr.org. You can see every broadcast that we have live. Go back into our archives. Amen, and you can also see it in the media. If you go to the media tab page located at the top of our website, you can see all of our shows, hear all the broadcasts. Even if you're even praying about becoming a vision partner, how can you support this ministry? Well, go to the Contact Us page at the top, and once again, of our website, www.ctkr.org. Follow the instructions there. Amen. Also, if you need someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, want to know more about the ministry, or if you would like to invite myself or Apostle McQueen to minister at any one of your engagements, once again, at the Contact Us tab, located at the top of our website, follow those instructions, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen? Glory to God. We also have Facebook pages, People of God, like us there, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or locate us under Women of Prophetic Destiny, known as WOPD. We want to hear from you and how God is doing great, marvelous things in your life. Amen, and glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And our events also letting you know, listen, if you did not tune in last week, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference was off the chain. The power of God fell in this place mightily. People were healed, delivered. People were set free. Amen. The glory of God revived, renewed people. Amen. That was October 16th through the 19th. Go back in the archives. Amen. And so you can catch up on what God was doing. Amen. Then as the anointing flows here, it'll also flow where you are and just receive a touch from the Lord. Amen. We also have coming up Singles Conference, and that is October 31st, November 1st. Amen. Coming up real soon, Successfully Single. You don't want to miss that. And also we have coming up Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Amen. January 29th through February the 1st. Amen. The young people are on fire. They are excited. Praise and worship, mime, dance. Amen. And most of all, the word of God being delivered in this house. I don't know where you're going to be, but I'm going to be right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. Those are our quick announcements as follows. Now, please, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Amen. Starting at the 8th verse, the book of Acts, chapter 4. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation Bible on tonight. Amen. And after that, we're going into prayer. And then the next word you will hear will be from our pastor, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Let us read. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Amen. Only have a few words for you. There is salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, let us pray. Father, we just give your name all the glory. We give your name all the honor. We thank you this day. We thank you for your people. Once again, God, we come into your presence and we just come with expectation. We come with thanksgiving. We come with our hearts open, ready to receive. We come with our minds open, ready to hear, and our ears open, ready to hear. Our minds open, ready to be shifted, God, to hear what you have to say and to be renewed in your presence. Father, even now, I ask that you would just begin to wash us in your blood, wash us in your word on tonight. Forgive us for all sins, God, that we have done. Wash us, cleanse us from all sins that we have just allowed to just take over, sins of the flesh, omission and commission. Cleanse us tonight in the name of Jesus. We come submitting ourselves to you. Amen. We come submitting our lives to you once again. We're saying have your way in us and through us in the name of Jesus. God, even now, as the man of God comes, as the apostle comes, begin to minister through him. Let us not see him, but let us see the Christ in him. Begin to uplift him, God. Begin to show him in revelation, word of knowledge, giving your people a word right now, what you are saying to the church. And we that have an ear, let us hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. I'm commanding, let the ears be open. Our spiritual ears will be open. Our spiritual eyes will be open as well, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you for every soul. We thank you for every deliverance. We thank you for every sign, every wonder, every miracle. God, we thank you for your favor that has been bestowed upon us. God, we thank you for your presence that's resting, ruling, and abiding in our lives, in this church, and in the lives of your people. Now, God, we bless you, we glorify you, and we thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Come on, let's just press. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right wherever you are. Amen. And just begin to glorify his most excellent and mighty name. Our God is great. Amen. And our God is greatly, mighty to be praised. There is nobody like our God. There is nobody like our King. Definitely nobody like and the last. And he needs to be the first and the last in your life. Amen. We can't go around the people of God, no matter how hard we try. God shall have, will have, must have the last word. Amen. So without any further ado, let us prepare our hearts to receive Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Come on, give God a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. We're so happy that you have joined us on this evening. We know definitely that there is a word from the Lord for you, and we're looking forward to hearing what he has spoken to us. Amen. I want you to know that this is a wonderful time, definitely a wonderful season for us. Amen. God has chosen to call us into his presence. Amen. Not just that, but to minister to the men, the women of God. Amen. He has chosen to speak to us his design, his desires for us. Amen. And we are happy about what he is saying. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad about it. Amen. Now, this evening, we're going to begin to look at a few things here, knowing that God is speaking to us, and he has been speaking to us. Let's get our listening ears on, open up our hearts and our minds, and hear what the Spirit is saying to us. We've been dealing with the Bible and David and Saul as of late. There's a few things that we have started looking at and a few things that we started really talking about that will help us to understand the time and the season that we're in. When God begins to speak, listen to this, when God begins to speak, he is giving us an opportunity to get ourselves together, amen? And it is in getting ourselves together, he gives us grace, amen? You know, grace is like that grace period. It's something that should happen, you know, at the end of when things should cut off. What he does is he gives us grace, amen? And not just grace, he gives us more grace, amen? So we're grateful to God that he has given us more grace, amen? Now, just a few things I want to celebrate the weekend that we had with Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Amen. I'm so sorry for those of you who did not make it. I understand that, you know, things come up and things happen, but we had some church in here. Amen. God came in and let's just say the atmosphere was right. Amen. Conducive to miracle signs and wonders. There was prophetic utterance, amen. There was impartation. There was a word that went forth. And I tell you, the whole weekend long, it was nothing but word after word after word that was accurate and direct towards what God has been saying for us, amen. So we're excited about the fact that God chose not just to have us have an event, but he chose to come to the event, amen. And in coming, he showed himself strong on our behalf. So we're excited about that. I want to say thank you to all of our speakers. First night we had co-pastor Catherine Montgomery. Second night we had First Lady Jones. Amen. The third night we had Pastor Shonda Bryant Jones. Amen. Jones was in the house. Amen. And then Sunday afternoon at 4, Prophetess closed it out. And I want you to know that the power of God was so thick and heavy in here. I said it before, people walking around looking for the glory of the Lord, not understanding that there is the kabod, amen, which is the weight, amen. They're just looking for a cloud. But we experienced not just the cloud, but the weight of his glory. It was here, amen. And now, let me say it like this. Whenever the weight of the Lord comes in, the weight of his glory comes in. It comes in and makes its residence wherever it is. Amen. So we want to just say now at the point that we know that no matter what, the glory of the Lord resides here. Amen. Amen. So we're excited about that. Now, let's get into this word. Sunday I began to talk about and deal with the subject, don't be a fool. And as I began to look at that, it's one of those things you begin to talk about, don't be a fool, that people begin to get upset. Amen. But they get upset because, first of all, no one wants to be on the other side of that conversation. So what they do is they try to defer. In other words, instead of me taking stock in myself and seeing what it is that I'm dealing with and what I should be dealing with, I begin to defer blame or defer the message or defer the revelation to everybody. Everybody else, it's about them. It ain't about me. This is them. They're the ones going through. They're the ones who are doing this. They're the ones who are doing that and the other. So they begin to make it about them. Amen. Instead of about me. And when God begins to release a word in the house, the word comes for us. It's always a word that will be there for us. Amen. And the reason why that word is there for us is because God is trying to tell us something about ourselves. Listen, many people are walking around talking about, I know myself. You don't know yourself until you get put into a test. Amen. And then the true you will show up. The truest statement that you could ever make is, I don't know how I would act if. Amen. Because the reality is, until you get put into that test situation, you don't know how your flesh is going to respond. So the first thing that you have to do is stop trying to defer to other people and say, Lord, show me myself here. Peter didn't know how he was going to respond when he got out that ship. Waves began to come. The first thing he did was he began to sink because he was looking at his surroundings instead of his source. I want you to know that if you are not connected properly to your source, you can go a little bit like Peter did, but eventually as your focus wanes, so will your integrity. Amen. And so did the integrity of the water that he was walking on. He began to sink. Amen. And you need to understand that God is trying to bring you into integral times. He's trying to bring you to another level. He's trying to bring you up in him. Amen. So that he can get the glory out of your life. He doesn't get the glory from you getting off the ship and sinking. No, he gets the glory because while you were focused on him, you got off the ship at his word. Come, you heard him say the word, and you responded to it. And when you moved upon his word, faith in him and faith in his word, you were walking the miracle out. That's where God gets the glory from. I've been saying this in the house, and I'll continue to say it. I have an anointing to succeed. I wish somebody would say it with me. I have an anointing to succeed. You got to understand that God didn't give you an anointing to fail. That's a trick of the enemy. He wants you to think that it's not going to work out good for you and that everybody else has something special that you don't have. Brothers and sisters, I have something that they don't have. I have an anointing to succeed, and God gave me that anointing. I'm going to make it, and you are too. Amen? Now, let's go here in this word because I want to finish up where we were with these 10 virgins. Amen. Matthew, the 25th chapter, is very important for us to understand what is being said here. The Bible says that every man's way is right in his own eyes. Amen? And that means that he is justifying his thinking. He's justifying his ways. He's justifying his mentality and his position, his perspective. Amen? And listen to this right here. Your perspective is your truth. Amen? Now, let me say that again. Your perspective is your truth. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying that when you begin to look at what you see and how you perceive it, you will ordain and declare that it is true. Why? Because I saw it. Amen? But you got to be very careful what you see when you're not seeing through the eyes of God. The devil knows how to give you a perception that would tear your faith up, tear your foundation up, tear you up all the way. You're sitting there talking about, yeah, I saw it, I saw it. Yeah, you're right, you're right. You better be careful who you are agreeing with, amen? Huh? Because sometimes people are doing things and they're sent on assignment and you'll tear yourself up agreeing with the devil. Ooh. Well, yes. Agreeing with the enemy of your soul. Listening to what he's saying and how he's saying it is. And it sounded good in your ears, so you begin to shake your head in agreement and talking about, yeah, wait a minute, hold on. It was a lie to start with. It's going to be a lie at the end. And because you have an anointing to succeed, don't be agreeing with the lie. See, the anointing of your life has an integrity with it. When you begin to agree with what's wrong, then it begins to give integrity to wrong. Don't make it right. It just makes it more plausible or believable. The Bible says every person is right until his neighbor shows up. Yeah, that's right. You told it to us, and we saw it, we believed it, and then your neighbor came and said, no, I was sitting in the window, and this is what really happened. And now your story just fell apart. Listen, we got to stop trying to put stuff together, making people think and see it our way, and start seeing the truth of the matter. God is not here for us to see it any other way but the truth. He is the truth, amen? He is the light, amen? And that's how it is. Now, look here. Matthew, the 25th chapter, and when we begin to look here at the first verse, as we go all the way down to about the 13th verse, amen, we see this whole parable of the 10 virgins. Now, I said before something very interesting here, and I want to bring it back to your remembrance, and that is that these 10 virgins all were prepared. Wait a minute, hold on, that's all right. Yeah, that's right. They were all there. They all had their lamps. They all were virgins. They all waiting on the bridegroom. The problem is that five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. When we talk about don't be a fool, we're talking about some of the things that you can do in your life while you're waiting on the bridegroom to come, amen, that will make you foolish instead of wise. See, the thing here, as we look through here, is that they all had, and they were all equipped with the same thing. They all had the same opportunity. Things. You could know something is going to be great and take advantage of it, and people see you on the other side and say, that was a wonderful, great thing. You got lucky. You were successful at it. And then there's people who said, well, you know, I wasn't too sure if I wanted to do that. I sure didn't miss that one. Well, you know, there'll be others that come along. No, there's some things that only come along once in a lifetime. And you can't afford to be on the wrong side of this, amen? Especially because this right here deals with your soul. Here the 10 virgins are there and they all have lamps. But the problem with it is that five of them did not come prepared for the long haul. Oh, I wish I could preach right here. See, the thing is that there's some people who got saved for the moment. And there's some people who got saved for life. Yeah, some people got saved for the moment because they were in dire straits and they cried out, Lord, help me now. I'll serve you. I'll do whatever. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to come down here. I'm going to save you. And when you got through that, you got through that trial, that situation, that circumstance, relented. The next thing that we know is that you got busy, too busy for God. You are only saved for the moment. We know when people talk about this, somebody, I'm not going to mention their name, got saved and got real religious. Everybody had to go to church. Everybody had to fast. Everybody had to pray. Everybody had to be on time. Everybody was in Sunday school. They was in afternoon service. They came back for night service. They was in the shut-ins. They was in everything. Everybody doing all of that. And then they found out from the doctor that what they've been praying for had went into remission, and they couldn't find it anymore. The next Sunday, nobody had to go to Sunday school. Next Sunday, nobody had to go to afternoon service. Next Sunday, nobody went to evening service. The week after that, nobody showed up even for Sunday service. See, you got to understand that this relationship is not for a moment. It's for a lifetime. That's the problem. Some of you have gotten saved because you were rushed into Christianity. You were forced in through the cares of life. The enemy was so hot on your track that if you hadn't came in, you would have been ran over. You would have been stuck through the ground. You would have been buried up under an avalanche of all your circumstances and situations, but yet and still God provided a way of escape for you, and you gave him your heart out of the situation, but you really didn't give him your heart. You gave it to him on loan. As soon as the crowd passed, you went right back to the same thing that you were doing before. These 10 virgins, 5 of them came in to get married, but they wasn't really trying to be there like that because they didn't come prepared to stay. Huh? And if you're not there to stay, then you're going to have some issues in your life. But then everything about you is about yourself. There's some people who come into church and they got in the church, listen to this, because when they was trying to make it in the world, they didn't have the skill set to make it. And but because when they went to church, people celebrated them and they talked about them and they talked about how talented they were and how God was going to do some things for them. The first thing that they did was they came in and they got settled in church. They sang in a choir. They got on a praise and worship team. They began to play the instruments. They began to serve and do all kinds of things in the church. Because they couldn't make it in a secular sense, they came into church and was celebrated there. So now here they are, the best of the worst. You can tell the first time something happened, here they go. They run over there trying to do everything and then run back to church as if they was there all the time. One of the worst things you could ever do is give a witness that is a hypocrite. Or can I say a hypocritical witness? Which says one thing but does another. People are looking at us in the house of faith and they're trying to get God to see who they are. But God is trying to get them to see who he is. We know who they are because today, you know, they're singing gospel. They get a little notoriety, put something up on YouTube or whatever, or on social media, and now they get a number of hits, and one of these secular producers come and start talking to them about you wasting your talent over here, man. They ain't going to appreciate you. They ain't going to do that. I can get you signed right now. You know, we can give you X amount of dollars and put you out here because people need to hear this. And people start, Yeah, you know, I've always been trying to get out there. You know, my mama always told me I had it, you know, but whatever. After all is said and done, you move from the place where you were saved, the thing that kept you, the thing that rescued you, salvation snatched you from destruction. You leave from that now to run after a care. That record company, that record label is not signing you because you are what's making that label. That record label is signing you because they understand that when they bring you in, you now belong to them. They start calling the shots on you. I want to really preach the gospel and everything. Well, you ain't got time for that because I need you on a red eye to be over here. By the afternoon, you'll be over there. In the evening, you'll be over here. I'm going to pay for all this. Well, we gave you that wonderful advance at the very beginning. You should be able to afford it by now. But you want these albums from me. Hey, you know, you sign your name. See, what it seems like at the very beginning is not what it is at the end. And people, you got to stop selling your gift to the highest bidder. Hello, somebody. God is trying to get you to focus on Him. But if you only came in, it was hard for you. Now it's easier for you. And now you remember that I'm a Christian, but I don't serve Christ. Watch that there. You're going to find yourself where these five foolish virgins was. When I say don't be a fool is by definition one who lacks wisdom or one who will not respond well to wisdom, one who does not listen to wisdom. Amen? See, when we begin to talk about these foolish virgins, let's read and see what was going on with them. Third verse, Matthew 25:3, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. We know in the scripture that oil is synonymous with the Spirit. Amen? So you've been going off of your talent. You've been going off of your ability. That's why it's dangerous to go to a church where you have a pastor who has the degrees because they went to school to get the paperwork. They matriculated in the paperwork, but they did not matriculate in character and development. They're really not saved. They're there because it was something I went to school for. So I learned how to put my opening together and how to put my points together and my sub points and actually exegete the passage based on this setting for it. I learned how to do that, but I really haven't learned how to serve God, because serving God means my flesh can't be on parade. Serving God means that I can't stand up here and talk about myself and how wonderful I was. I don't know, prophetess. There's a lot of people that have been we've been around that have talked about what happened when I prayed, what happened when I gave my word, what happened when I said it, when I laid my hands, what happened? Okay, when I said that, didn't it move? When I said that, didn't it happen? Didn't it occur? When I, you know, God gave me another word, but that's another message for later. Because you know, it's just revelation, just falling all over the place, falling off. And when you get to my level, when you get to see, all of that is self-centeredness. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not Christ-centered. It's self-centered. And you have to understand that self-centeredness will always put itself off as having a Christian or Christ validation. After you got done talking about yourself, then you want to talk about Jesus. Yeah, I prophesied, I did all this, I laid hands, you know, I'm just so grateful that Christ gave me. Wait a minute, hold on. You didn't do nothing. You were a vessel. He poured into you, it poured out. Amen? Huh? And when it poured out, it blessed people. Instead of you talking about how wonderful and how articulate and how smart you was and how quick you were and all the rest of that, how about we get back to talking about Jesus, amen? See, when you don't have no oil, you go off of your ability to be quick on a return. You go off of your ability to have gone to school, to Juilliard and to Berkeley and to some of these others where you where we talk about who the best musicians and producers and everything are. You went to the best schools. You went through the Bible Belt and just took courses and got all kinds of certificates and degrees from all over the place. And all of that looks good. But if you didn't get any oil with it, all you got is paper. And that paper ain't no better than a bunch of toilet paper. Amen? It don't count as anything. Paul said it like this. He said, I count my knowledge as dung for the knowledge of Christ. Everything that he had learned, everything that he had matriculated to, he counted it as nothing towards the knowledge of Christ. Christ's knowledge is paramount to our knowledge. You're going to do anything for God. First thing you need to have is some oil. Amen. We
have this saying that when people are doing something and they sing or they begin to minister and the power of God begins to fall, we say, ooh, that has some oil on it. Amen. The reason why we say that is because there was an anointing with them to do what we saw them do. We're walking around trying to get people to celebrate us and talk about how good and awesome we are, and we forgot that we're representing Christ. It ain't about you. I wish I had a church full of people that could say it with me. It's not about me. It's always about Christ. It's not about you. Thank you for what you've done, but it's not really about you. I know you want people to see you in a certain light, see that you've done certain things, but this really, baby, is not about you at all. It's about Christ. If Christ isn't getting the glory out of my life and out of what I'm doing, then I don't have no oil with me. I got the lamp. I'm at the right place. I've lived the life. I've fasted and prayed and did everything else. These virgins had did all of the things right. They qualified to be here. But they did not get oil. Let's talk about what this oil does for you. Sixth verse. It says, and at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, let me show you what's happening here. There are some people who had, like I said, got saved for life, and some people who got saved for the moment. Okay? And those who got saved for the moment, when it's time for your prayer to kick in, when it's time for your fasting to kick in, when it's time for that word that you should have been putting in that should come up and be in your belly, when that well of living water should be coming forth and flowing out of you, you're lacking and deficient. So now you got to go to somebody who was with you and say, pray for me, instead of pray with me. Oh, God. Instead of going in and casting the devil out, recognizing by the word of God and confidence in the word of God, knowing this word that you have authority to cast them out. Now you go to someone to get a devil cast out of you. You see the problem? It's that when you don't put the time in, when you need it to work for you, there's nothing there to work. They trim their lamps. I've been saved for 20 years, but you ain't been filled for 20, huh? You've been on a praise team for 5 years, but you've been the Judas on a praise team. Every opportunity you can that you can undermine what's going on, there you go. Oh, God, help me. Oh, I wish I could preach like I feel this thing. Huh? See, because this right here, when we lack the oil, people like to believe in the heart that because they came to the household of faith, everything is all right. My brother, my sister, everything is not all right just because you showed up. Showing up don't do nothing. It just shows us that there was mass where mass was. Huh? It didn't show us anything other than you showed up at a location, but it didn't tell us that you came to do anything productive. See, we got too many people sitting up on the front line with blanks in their gun, and the enemy has figured out when you pulled the trigger that it made a noise, but it didn't make an impact. Huh? So here you go trying to threaten the enemy with blanks, and he's running right at you, and you unload him, pop, 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 and he's laughing, knowing you don't have nothing in that gun. Brother, sister, that part of the line has been compromised. Worse than that, when he gets to you at that line, he's going to make sure that you won't put no bullets in that gun. We got to stop playing with the enemy as if he ain't real. If he ain't real, then that means that you got some other issues going on in your life. Because if God is real, then the adversary is real. The adversary is real, then God's real. See, you got to understand that this is opposing forces. This is contrast. Amen. And because it's a contrast, what happens is one exists because the other exists. You see, light is there, which means that on the other side of light is the shadow. Y'all see it? There's no light, there's no shadow. What casts the shadow? When light doesn't pass through an object, okay? It shows us that light is going to go till it gets hit with something. Past whatever that something is what the image is that it hit, the shadow. Some people have become successful at shadow boxing, but can't take a blow. You've been walking around. You got the moves. Everybody see you. You even got the breathing. You doing it. Oh, man, when they see you doing all of that, can't take a blow. Can't take nothing. Oh, you done got it down to all of that stuff. That looks good. Looks intimidating. Woo! Until that first come. And then we know the truth. Amen. Some of you have been putting on airs. You look right, but you have no oil. So when the test of your life comes, you don't have nothing to stand with. My brothers, my sisters, the enemy is not coming to you when you're standing around your backup. He's catching you in the alley. He's catching you around the way. He's catching you in your living room. And the midnight hour when you're going down your hallway to the bathroom, that's when the enemy comes up and begins to try to mess with you. He gets you when you're by yourself. You think the enemy's going to come to you? Oh, I'm always keeping my friends around me. Whew, I got to have my praying friends. No, you need to get on your own knees and develop your own prayer life. You're going to need this oil. Look at your neighbor and say, I need it. Oh, tell them again, I need this oil. So, here at 6 verse, at midnight the cry went out. This is when it's needed. What you should have inside of yourself is needed. Now, mark this here because they still have their lamp. They still are virgins. They're still waiting on him. They're still in the right place for them to be used. But yet and still, they don't have the source. They don't have the resource to be effective at this point. They trim their lamp. The lamps are going out. Oops, I failed. No, you didn't put more oil there. See, the thing about this right here is that it shows that there is a need for you to constantly resupply oil for your lamp. How is it that 5 of them showed up ready and 5 of them didn't have the wherewithal to know that there was something that needed to be done? See, God is always speaking to us. He's always talking. He's always ministering through the Spirit. Instruction is always going forward. But you can't hear God when your flesh is trying to hear something else. God begins to talk to us and begins to tell us certain things about ourselves. Huh? And we don't really want to hear that just yet, because it means that what I plan to do, I can't do, because God came in and preempted my plan with his plan. The thing that I planned on saying, and where I've been working on this for a while, you know, we've been talking for a while, and I just wanted to get over there and see how far we're going to take this, because, you know, I think we click and we got a good vibe here. So, all of that, and then the Holy Spirit says, you know, this, you shouldn't be doing this. But they said they're going to buy me a ring. Huh? They said that they're going to put a ring, on it. No. They told me that I was the one, and that they don't wake up in the morning without thinking about me. And listen, don't get fooled. Huh? We talk about don't be a fool. Oh, they told me they're going, you know, once I get here, they're going. I can tell you so many people who said, listen, we're going to take care of you. Amen. I remember when working with a ministry, I told them, I said, you know, I got a family and I got some things that I need to make sure happen here. And they said, we're going to take care of you, Doc. We got you. You know, you're going to be able to preach and you're going to be able to do some other stuff. We need you to do some music and some traveling things for us. I said, okay, I think I can do that. And we started out good. Amen. Let's see what started off at staying at the higher end rest or hotel became just next level up from Red Roof Inn to staying with one of the saints in the area. I'm like, well, I didn't come up here to stay with people because I don't need to do that. We had an agreement that we'll do this. And, oh, yes. See, what we're trying to do is you got to understand people will change on you. Look at your neighbor and say, but thank God for Jesus that he stays the same. When you need to have the resource to keep your anointing on, to keep your purpose intact, you can't trust on other people. Look at this. A first, advice, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answer, these are the people who've been before God. Saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself. Look at this. Now, you got to catch this. It's in the wording. Rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself. Okay? In other words, you have the means to get your resource, but you won't get it. You want mine. You have the ability to develop just like I did. You have the ability to fast and pray just like I did. You have the ability to get the word of God just like I did, but you won't. You just want me to give you a word. You just want me to pray for you. You just want me to turn down my plate for your get an answer for you. Ooh, could you fast for me? I just need the Lord to tell me what. Hold on. Stop. Back up. Pump the brakes, baby. Huh? You need to get in the word. You need to fast. You need to pray. Because if God speaks to me, he will speak to you. That means I got to do something and I got my agenda set up. Well, you're going to have your agenda. But guess what? You ain't going to have no answer. And let me tell you this right here. Your ability to have oil is not just tied to you going and getting it. There's people who have fasted but still don't have no revelation. People who pray still don't have an answer. People who read the word don't got no revelation. Why? Because they didn't do it for the right reason. James, the fifth chapter, tells us that when we pray, you pray and you ask, but you don't receive because you pray amiss. Well, if you pray amiss, you can fast amiss. You get in the Word, you in the Word not to see what God is saying, but looking for loopholes in the Scriptures so you can justify your flesh. Help us, Jesus. I was fasting. You was fasting for the wrong reason. I'm going to turn down my plate so that God would strip them and take them out and everything because I can't stand them. You might as well eat because that's not the proper way to fast. I wish they would. I come over here. I curse and say, wait a minute, hold on. You might as well stop because right now we've been told to turn the other cheek. See, we've been running after people and celebrating the fact that the enemy's put up under your foot. But the Bible says, as much as lies within you, Romans 14 chapter, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. That means that if it's up to anyone whether or not that's peaceful or not, let it be on them and not on you. Okay? The other side of that is that we should not be repaying evil for evil. You can't hate because they hate you. We have been commanded to love. Our job is to go out as sheep among wolves and compel them to become sheep. That's difficult, ain't it? Because we've been brought up, if they hit me, I get to hit them back. If they spit on me, I'm going to spit on them. If they say, I'm going to do. Stop. That's not his way. That's a little hard, isn't it? I don't know. I don't know if I could be this old victim thing y'all talking about. I don't know. That's a weak man. No, it takes more strength to hold your hand down than it does to raise it up. Huh? Any fool can jump and sing at something. You can look at the monkeys in the cage. You get them upset, and they'll go on a rampage and start just hitting everything. It takes intelligence to know when to hit and when not to. It takes strength to hear somebody say and know that you got the right answer and still let them go on, because you know even at the point that you begin to speak to them, a fool cannot receive correction. That's Proverbs. They'll despise you for it. You are not helping them by trying to tell them the truth, because a fool can't receive it no how. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be a fool. Oh, say it again, don't be a fool. Give us some of your oil for our lamps are going out. The wise answer said, no, lest there not be enough for us and you. This right here shows me that when people know that they're in trouble, they don't want to go by themselves. Just like Satan, when he fell, took a third of his host with him. Now he's out here trying to get all of you to go to hell where he resides now. All of y'all who reject will end up in the lake of fire. Y'all talking about hell. There's a place worse. Amen. You know, see, the thing about this all is that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. He is the propitiation, or the payment in full for our sins. You don't have to worry about coming up to the next level and paying for yourself and getting it right. Some people are working themselves to the bone trying to measure up to people's level of forgiveness, when God's level of forgiveness for you in your life has already superseded their low level. God has already chosen you, sent his son. His son shed his blood for you, and that way you are now saved and free from sin. But you still got an assignment to do. These relatives here, when they said, rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself, let me know that they knew that the others had been slacking the whole time. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. In other words, they went to buy because they always had the resource. They had the means from the very beginning. There are whole houses of God that have been torn up because good men, wise virgins, have been fooling with some ill-meaning, lazy, dysfunctional, foolish virgins. Give me some of your oil. I'm giving you just a little bit. No. I'm sorry. I want you to understand that if you don't put this word in you, when the enemy comes at you, you don't have anything to draw on. And your good, saved friend, there's somewhere, I'm not going to say who they are. Amen. But a prophet is to know it as soon as I say it. It says, you know what? She ain't gonna tell y'all. She ain't going to talk about y'all. She won't cuss at y'all. But I will. We don't want her to do that, because I need somebody to pray me out of hell after I get done dealing with y'all. See, that mentality has run rampant throughout the church. Whereas you believe that you can act any way you want. somebody can pray God's wrath off of you. God's wrath is exactly that. If I work for God, and I do, and God said, I've had enough, my job is to intercede. You like these foolish virgins who had the means and had the opportunity to position themselves, played with it the whole time. Some of you have been playing with God. You've been playing with God the whole time that you've been saved. You haven't had a real touch yet because you came up and got saved. Hallelujah. You're saying now, thank you. And then you went back and did what you were doing. You just added something to your collection of things that you have done. That's off your bucket list. I went to church, you know. But you really didn't let the church get inside you. You never allowed Christ to get in you. The Bible tells us this, that those who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You never put him on. You just got wet, and then you dried off. See, that doesn't baptize you. The change of your life, putting on Christ, is what baptizes you. Fooling everybody thinking that we say you went down to a dry demon and got out a wet one. You went in a dry sinner and came out a wet sinner because nothing changed. Something has to change inside of you. They came back and the door was shut. I sit here. Let me read it in our closing. 11 verse afterwards, the other virgins came, also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Many will come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we have cast out devils. We have done this, we have done that and the other in your name. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. This right here is that knowing. When the door was shut, it was because he was knowing the virgins. After this, they were married and not virgins anymore. That is deep all by itself. Let the revelation of that get to you. You can't just say that you're there and equipped and a virgin. You have to go through the process. That is the point. If you don't understand that, you'll keep playing with it. My brother and my sister, maybe you say, Apostle, this is something that I really need to take to heart, and I want to know this Jesus that you're talking. Well, pray this prayer with me, amen. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in his blood. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Lord, I pray that if they prayed that prayer, you lead them to a teaching ministry where they can be developed and mature and go on to do the work you called them to do. Now, I speak to those, Lord, who need miracles, signs, and wonders, those who need healing in their body. Lord, those who need a way made right now, Lord, I pray right now that your ministering angels will move now and meet the need, heal, save, deliver, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for it now, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We have many ministries, schools, and orphanages that need your financial support, as well as here, amen. The work that we're doing needs to be financed by those who believe in the work that we're doing, and we know that God will bless you for your charitable contribution, amen. Listen, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. We'll see you on Thursday at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere with none other than my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.